Hey, Mama, this your man Beast Boy, and you's listening to the Bob Culture Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special Captain Marvel edition of the Bob Culture Podcast. I'm your host, Bob Man, here, and I am joined by an amazing super friend panel. I'm surrounded by friends and loved ones, and I'm very, very excited to talk about what I thought was a really, really great Marvel movie. I'm excited to see what you guys think. Of course, I got to introduce the Mrs., lead singer from Vection, my wife, Miss Kate Ortiz. How are you, Kate?
How's it going? I'm pretty good.
I'm already getting glares over here. All right. To the left of me, we're already having fun. Superhero aficionado and my good friend, Mr. Eddie Souls. What's up, my friend? How are you?
What's going on? I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, man. I got you some Taco Bell. I'm sorry I'm putting you to work, but we'll chill a little bit later.
Taco Bell makes everything worth it.
There you go. I know how to bribe you. Of course, on the line we have the film editor for the popbreak.com, Marissa Carpico. Marissa, how are you? Thanks for a few minutes.
Good, you know, ready to go.
Ready?
I'm sorry I can't be there.
Oh, no, that's fine. Where are you? New York?
I am in Brooklyn.
Oh, nice.
So there will be sirens occasionally going by my window.
Yeah, that's very accurate. My sister lives there, and I'm always there seeing the Nets because they left New Jersey too. So, but yeah, we love Brooklyn. Brooklyn's great. Well, thank you for coming on. Appreciate it, Marissa.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, guys, let's get into this. Let's talk about the film a little bit. You know, they hit me right in the heart box, right in the heartstrings. As soon as this movie happened, they do the Marvel intro. But they have Stan Lee, you know, all the cameos and, you know, all the different colors kind of, you know, reminiscent of the heroes being in the letters and all that. So, it got me a little bit. I mean, how did you guys feel about that? Did that get you? Was it called for? I mean, I think it was obviously called for. What do you guys think about it? What do you think, Eddie?
I loved it. I knew that something was going to happen. I kind of read something on the internet and they were saying something about a tribute to him. I wasn't expecting that though, and I thought that was really clever.
Yeah.
Just kind of put his roles in there because he's a big part of the MCU too.
Oh, yeah.
Even though he's just doing cameos.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's Stan Lee.
Totally.
No, I agree. It gave me feelings.
And that's hard to do.
It is.
Did it get your heart box too?
It got me right in the heart box as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really great, and I'm glad that he also got to film his cameo for Captain Marvel before he died.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, it won't be quite the same without his goofy whatever it is that he does for the next few movies.
Yeah, totally. Marissa, what did you think about that opening?
I hated it. No, of course I loved it. yeah, it's beautiful. I was like, I really didn't sign up to cry really this quickly into a film. I really felt, I felt attacked.
Yeah, seriously, I agree with that. And so obviously we got the cameo, and it kind of just happened so fastly. You know, he was reading a script, and I didn't totally get what was going on. And my wife, honestly, who is not a huge Kevin Smith fan, explained it to me, and I am a huge Kevin Smith fan, and I had seen things posted by Kevin Smith about how they kind of, you know, involved him in the film in a way. I had no idea what, but he's reading the script for Mallrats. Well, I mean, did you guys catch it? It went over my head,
yeah,
and I was mad at myself for not catching it.
Shame on you.
Yeah,
I know. No, I agree.
I think I've seen that movie one time.
Yeah.
You know, because there were so many just great 90s references, and that was one of them. That would have been around the time that he did his cameo, so that's very cool.
He's
actually being Stan Lee.
Yeah, it's the OG Stan Lee cameo. And so meta because it's Stan Lee, like, cameoing as himself when he's always playing a different character.
Yeah. and while working on a cameo.
Yeah.
And that's
so many layers.
Oh, yeah. And that soundtrack, though, talking about all the 90s stuff, that soundtrack was on point. All right, so I've worded this question very carefully, and I know I'm going to get glares already, but, you know, feel free to put me in my place. I'm used to it by now. Basically, obviously, Wonder Woman, one of my, you know, of all time, cracks my top 10 favorite films of all time. I really, really enjoyed Wonder Woman. Gal Gadot's performance was great. One of the first of this era standalone superhero films that's female-fronted. Obviously, we had talked on the Wonder Woman podcast about this kind of paves the way for Captain Marvel. And Captain Marvel, in my mind, I'd give it a solid 8.5, maybe even a 9 out of 10. I really enjoyed the whole movie. I had one issue with it, and then that issue fixed itself as the plot played out. So that made me even happier. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But basically, I wanted to ask you guys, you know, obviously from a self-proclaimed feminist that my wife is, I want to ask you guys.
Straight.
Yeah, that's right. I wanted to ask you guys, is this like a big film for that feminist agenda? Did you guys go into it like the same way you went into Wonder Woman? What did you guys think about this one? Or is this just like another MCU film? We'll start with Marissa. What did you think?
I am like sort of lukewarm on Marvel in general. Like them. I go see all of them, but for me, it's a lot like eating my vegetables in a way of like, I have to know about this for pop culture purposes, but okay. I will confess that I did not actually see Infinity War until it had been out for like 2.5 weeks. Cause it wasn't a priority for me. Like I didn't care about spoilers, but I did care about this. I went to the earliest possible showing I could see. It was like a 6 o'clock Disney showing type thing at the Alamo. They gave out stuff. A little girl got like some Captain Marvel stuff. It was very cute. And yeah, I think I went into this thinking, like, boy, it'll be nice to see women in powerful positions again, like in Wonder Woman. But I think I didn't expect quite the subtlety and, like, modern take of feminism that was being produced here. Like,
yeah.
I wrote a review for the site that anybody could read. But it's about like – something I think is important for like films, especially like basically saying like, okay, Captain Marvel should be judged at the same standards as the boys. And if we're asking her to be
right,
more, even more impressive, then you're missing the point of what women are looking for, which is equality or whatever.
I get what you're saying. But, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I thought it was like the subtlety for me was just like, oh, this is about, the way women are treated in a workforce, essentially. And she is, you know, we're spoiling everything, right?
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. I should have done the whole spoil. I do this on every show. Spoiler alert. Yeah go ahead.
Yeah. I just want to make sure. Cause the whole point is that she's really being held back by these systems and particularly a male authority figure who is like literally hamstringing her abilities, and then it's about her realizing that she's more powerful than she's been taught and brainwashed to be, essentially, which is I really didn't expect a big MCU movie about gaslighting is what I'm basically trying to say.
Yeah. really well said. I totally get what you're saying. More importantly, let's see what Eddie has to say. No, I'm just kidding. Let's throw it over to the wife, because I know she has opinions.
Do I? Repeat the question.
It was a mouthful.
So just, I know that you asked about, you know, comparing to Wonder Woman and the feminist effect and stuff like that. So even though I find it super annoying that the only two female superheroes are immediately compared, even though they're in completely different universes, mm-hmm. it's going to happen just like anytime we play, I get compared to other female musicians, even if it's like a completely different style. It's just like the way people are, which is part of the problem. But as far as it being important for feminism, it is absolutely important for feminism and, you know, not just for like us women who are like, finally, we have like these heroes and someone to, you know, represent us in a strong and positive way. But for future generations, having these movies available for little girls is going to be huge because they can see themselves as powerful. They could see themselves as superheroes and not just the damsel in distress. And one of my favorite things about the movie is that Captain Marvel's uniform is a uniform. It's an army uniform. She's a soldier. It's not like, oh, I'm wearing a pretty dress or anything like that, which we see all the time. Like, Supergirl is in a skirt. Why would Supergirl be in a skirt? She flies all the time. That's not practical. But here's Captain Marvel in armor that protects her, you know, and it covers her for war. So that was really important to me. And she was just awesome. You know, she did deal with, like, the nonsense of, you know, it's called a cockpit for a reason. And in all seriousness, like women deal with that bullshit every day, you know, especially in a workplace and a workplace dominated by men, which is almost all workplaces besides like teaching and being a nanny and stuff like that. So it like, I feel like it resonates with women in a lot of ways because we're just like, yup, dealt with that. Literally in New York City yesterday, I had some guy ask me to smile for him.
And I apologized for that.
Ah, so funny. But my point is like everything they put in that movie, it is absolutely real for women. And, you know, I think that's not only good for, you know, for us to have an outlet to say, yup, bunch of dicks. But it's also important for men to see stuff like that because it's, you know, if like guys like you guys, like you're good guys, but you don't realize, I mean, for the most part, but you, you don't realize the stuff that women go through because you're not doing it. But we deal with this bullshit from idiots. So it's important just like to have that platform to be like, this is what happens.
Yeah. And I have to say this, though, I did admittedly love the No Doubt I'm Just a Girl coming on for that final battle. I popped big for that.
Loved that actually because that song's so great because the whole point of that song is people treat you like you're fragile because you're a girl, you know. I think I liked it. I thought it was great and I love that album.
That's phenomenal intertextual work. I was thrilled by it. I was like, absolutely yes, because it was such a girl power song in the 90s. Like young women, her, you know, close to her age, probably not her because I don't know if she would have been a No Doubt person, but like would have been listening to that song and feeling empowered by it. So it's like great to see all of that connected in like two time periods, essentially, like now and 20 years before.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, just that, again, that 90s soundtrack. Every song I pop for when it came on, even stuff in the background that came on on the radio, it was great.
That was the best one, though, because it really played into what was happening in the movie and just the overall theme of everything, too. Because the song has so much, like, kind of sarcasm. I mean, the hook's, I'm just a girl in the world. It's not really, like, what it sounds like on the surface. She's kind of just saying, like, I'm more than just, like, this dainty little girl.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, Captain Marvel's just, like, beating up on everybody. And she's having fun with it. She's not, like, really, you know, power's unleashed and everything. And she's like, all right, you guys are just, like, a bunch of little boys. I'm going to beat your asses.
Yeah.
She's kind of just, like, playing around with them.
And she's so I mean, you know, obviously, it looks like she's going to be the most powerful, which is awesome. Yeah. The whole movie, she's obviously hindered, you know, like Kate was saying earlier. And like you were saying, Eddie, she goes all out at the end. It's crazy. But also for me personally, you know, Ed and I have been playing music together for ages. You know, we grew up through that era of No Doubt and all those bands. So as soon as that riff came on, one of the first riffs I ever learned on my guitar, I popped so big. And I was like, like I knew where they were going with it. And it was awesome. I'm smiling already. And I really enjoyed that was pretty much my reaction throughout the whole movie. I had one little issue. We'll get into that soon. But, yeah, really, really good stuff, guys. I also wanted to say this before we move on to the next thing. I actually did go in, not necessarily comparing it to Wonder Woman, but I think because I loved Wonder Woman so much. Wonder Woman was amazing. Gal Gadot just carried so much on her shoulders during that movie and just, like, conducting herself, like, with the media and going to children's hospitals and all that. Like Kate was talking about earlier, the big like role model part of it. Obviously, I can't say it enough. She was fantastic. So I went into this one seeing what Brie Larson would bring to the table. And I've been a Brie Larson fan for a long time. A lot of her appearances, even showing up in shows like Community. I thought she had a great performance here. I thought she carried it. I didn't think she was like overdoing anything or like, you know, like pushing the I'm just a girl or anything like that. I think she was just handling business and super powerful, and I was just, I thought it was up to par. Like, I hate to make that instant comparison to Wonder Woman, but when we, like I said, when we did the Wonder Woman podcast, we said this paves the way for films like Captain Marvel, and I think, you know, like they say, the future is female. We're seeing that trend. Movies like Peppermint, you know, all these female-led movies are becoming more prominent, and that's good, but more so as just like a person or a fan of heroes, I look at the character. Wonder Woman was such a great character in terms that she was kind of, you know, super powerful and awesome and genuine and heroic, but also naive in a way to our world, whereas Brie Larson kind of had almost that like amnesia about her. But you know, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, like scenes with her friends and stuff, there's a lot of chemistry. Like you really believed what she was feeling. So let's, you know, let's use that as a little segue right now. Let's talk about the cast a little bit. Who did you guys like? Who didn't you like? But first, what did you guys think about Brie Larson's performance? Obviously, I thought she was fantastic. We'll start with Eddie. What did you think?
I loved her. I mean, like you said, I've been a big fan of hers for a while. So I had, you know, high hopes for it. I expected her to be good. And I think she was just all around really good. I loved that she was like really expressive with everything.
Yeah.
Just looking at her as an actress. I think it's easy in an action movie to get away with like subpar acting, which happens all the time. But I think she was great. Just in every scene, like I'm always like hyper aware and critical of that with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I loved her in it, honestly.
Totally agree. Bae, what do you got?
She was amazing. So obviously I've been really excited about this movie coming out, and I've been watching like all the workouts and stuff that she puts into it, and that's like one of the coolest things to me about like these people who take on these superhero roles is that they like get so immersed in it, and like they, you know, they almost become heroic in their own way. Like she's doing like, you know, hip thrusters with 400 pounds and pushing a Jeep up a hill, and that's really, really cool. So I was like, okay, she's put a lot of work into this character. And just her performance was really great too, so that made me really happy. And one of the things that I liked best about the character is she's like my kind of woman. Like she was like a straight up badass. You know, she liked to, you know, go fast and punch and, you know, fight and do all those things and ride motorcycles and drive fast cars. And she drove a Mustang, and I'm just like, best hero.
Totally. Marissa, what did you think about Brie Larson's performance?
I mean, I would commit homicide for Brie Larson. I like her a lot. I think she has to do a lot of difficult stuff of being still engaging while getting like a lot of business done in the movie. Like we have to get a backstory. We have to get the current story. We have to set her up for Endgame. Like there's so much going on, and she made it seem very like effortless, even though I'm sure there was like a ton involved, and there are a lot of like emotional beats she has to hit within it of remembering her, you know, slowly remembering her past and then realizing her power, and that scene where she sort of figures out that she's been lied to all this time is really great. And like,
yeah,
like you're totally right about the chemistry between amongst all the characters in that moment, because it's like she, even before that, she has to really connect with this person she doesn't know, but you can sense that there's something there and that she wants to. And even before that, like I think she's so charming in those first couple scenes when she's like mixing it up with Jude Law.
Yeah,
like such like effortless comedy skill that like is reminiscent of like Tony Stark or something, in this sort of like bravado. But like, yeah, I loved her. There was a guy at my screening right afterwards who turned to the girl who he went with and said, like, I don't think she showed a lot of range in that. And I almost had to be removed from the theater. I was going to.
Oh, wow. Blow. No way.
I almost went off. I just had to like leave very quickly. But yeah, I thought it was wonderful. I think she's great.
Wow.
I can't wait to see more.
Yeah. And there, I mean, like, I don't want to get into this too much, but there, you know, like, I don't even want to say some of these headlines, but there was a lot of, Help me out.
Trolling?
Yeah, definitely trolling for sure. But there were a lot of like, you know, like that guy had said in your theater, a lot of opinions like that. And you
what?
Know, I go
men having opinions about something a woman does? No way.
Never heard of it.
But I mean, I think we were all impressed by her performance. Like it wasn't like one note at all. Like she had zero information and she played that perfectly. And then as she got the information, she reacted to things and she was very noble and heroic, and honestly blew me away. I didn't know what to expect from Brie Larson. I think mostly I've seen her in comedies and stuff like that.
Yeah, like
I wasn't doubting her,
but Room, but
I did. And
didn't
I
she
need
get
to
like
do
an
it.
Oscar nomination for,
I don't
she
know.
She won an Oscar for Room.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, she did. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's,
this is why we got
no
the
joke.
Film editor here. Yeah. you know your Oscars, but fantastic, really, I mean, great job by her. I really have nothing negative to say about it, even though people are saying negative things.
You know what it is? It's because she was a woman in a movie and she didn't cry, so suddenly that means she's not emotional. And like, there's
she
so
much. She didn't actually cry though, which is the funny thing.
I think yeah, I think you're right. I'm trying to
help me out here.
Yeah,
I think it's like with a big reveal
when she finds out about the that they've been lying to her. Like in that scene when there's that like low lighting from the sun and they all chase her out into the field, she's definitely crying. So I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
Was this man asleep for the whole thing? I don't understand.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. No, I totally agree with what you're saying. But she was fantastic. And let me know some of your guys' other favorites. Help me out. Her best friend, the character of her best friend.
Maria Rambo.
Yeah. Loved her only because when she confronted, I almost said Brie Larson, Captain Marvel.
Carol Danvers.
Yeah, Carol Danvers. I know we could. Or
Veers.
Veers. Yeah, that's what I was going to go with it. Veers. That like interaction between the two of them, like it could have been super sappy, it could have been cheesy, it could have been over top. Like I bought in. I think the actress Rambo said what, two sentences, and I was just like that's your Oscar scene right there. I was like a little choked up. Like,
yeah, that scene.
You really
believe
you lost? Like she lost her friend, and she's like, you know, you don't want to know what it's like seeing you again, and you have no idea who you are, like. The whole performance by her, she blew me away. So, you know, first prize to her. I thought she was great. There's your Oscar clip right there. Samuel L. Jackson, I there were some opinions about him in this one. I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah, there's just a lot of trolling.
Yeah, I guess. Coulson, I'm obviously big. You know, Coulson is my homeboy. I've been saying that forever. I got to get that shirt. Big Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fan. You know, I was sad to see him obviously die.
Spoilers. Spoiler.
I know you're going to do that. Spoiler alert from years ago. But love seeing him in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And in a way, he was the one who brought the Avengers together. I always feel like he never gets his due. So just seeing him on the big screen, as little as it was awesome. Really good. I'm sure there's opinions about the de-aging technology. The one they did with Robert Downey Jr. A couple movies ago, that was...
In Civil War?
Is that what it was, Civil War? That was insane. But yeah, I thought just a ton of phenomenal performances all around. Was Rambo's daughter, her name?
I think it's Monica.
Okay. She was great too. And I love like when she changed the colors on her suit... I thought that was so cool. You know, I'm a teacher. Yeah. I work with kids. That's like something, you know, pick out your sticker or whatever. Like, that's something I would do. Like,
well, that green and white was an Easter egg because that was like Captain Marvel's first uniform colors, I think.
Oh, was it green and white?
Yeah, it was green and white. I think that's why she kind of sat on that for a second while they were talking, and then she went to the red, blue, and gold.
There was something else I thought might be an Easter egg with the suit, because then she went to like a white and red, which is like the Shazam colors, who was formerly Captain Marvel, and then they went to the black and gold, which is like the Black Adam colors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now that might be. Yeah, I was thinking that too. Shazam used to be, you know, Captain Marvel. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying. Even though, yeah, different.
Yeah, it's a little nod, I guess. Yeah. To the original Captain Marvel.
Also, I know we're all over the place here, but I loved it when she was in space or underwater or whatever, and you know, had like the mohawk kind of mask thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. The helmet.
Yeah, like that classic. You know, so they covered all the different looks. But back to what we were talking about, Marissa. I'll start with you. Any other like performances that stood out to you in this one?
I definitely liked Sam Jackson in it because. You guys seen The Long Kiss Goodnight?
I haven't. No. He's great in everything.
Oh yeah, it's basically the same. They're clearly calling back to it because it's about a woman who's a housewife who suddenly gets hit in the head or something, and then she starts to realize that her amnesia is because she was a spy in a former life, and she goes on the road to find out about her former life, and the person who goes with her is Sam Jackson. So like,
what?
He's literally played that character before in a very different way, obviously, because like him and it's Gina Davis have like sexual tension in that, which is obviously not here, but like it's such a clever way for him to play on something he's already done. So like, it's I really like his performance in that because he doesn't make it seem like he's bored, even though he's literally done this storyline before in a very different setting, but like pretty much the same thing. So yeah, I really thought he was wonderful in it, like fun and I think he got to do the most work he's done in a Marvel movie in a while. Do you know what I mean?
Good, actually, really, yeah. That last point, especially, yeah, really, really good point. Eddie, Any performances that stood out to you besides Brie Larson?
I'm going to piggyback on Sam Jackson because I liked, you know, you've seen him as Nick Fury in so many movies and he's played the character a certain way the whole time. It's cool to see him sort of as early Nick Fury before all of this stuff has happened to him, and he's got a little bit of, you know, light, like a lighthearted attitude to everything. And, you know, he's just very like stern in the more recent movies. Kind of like he doesn't, you know, there's no joy in his life. He's still kind of got, like this, young and hopeful attitude towards him.
Yeah.
I liked that there were like some cool action scenes and, you know, just overall, I loved his performance. I can't really say that there was anybody in the movie that I didn't really enjoy. I think like Jude Law at first, I think I wasn't as, happy with his performance, but then like towards the end of the movie I realized like there's no reason for his character to get so much out of the movie because he serves as this person that you realize like Carol Danvers never really needed. He was just holding her back the whole time.
Yeah, true.
And he was kind of just like an asshole, and I thought like at first that he wasn't being developed. Because, you know, you don't really know what's going on at first.
Which I liked about this movie. You know, I didn't catch everything until it unfolded, which makes a movie better for me. But go ahead.
Yeah. Just the way, I don't know, I like the way that he talks to her and the way that, like, the Supreme Intelligence talks to her in the beginning is, like, you hear them use words like victim and all these things happen to her. And even just, like, the powers that she got that, You kind of are made to feel like were given to her, like she was just gifted all these things. Then, you know, come to realize that, you know, her decisions like brought her to those points, like her courage and bravery, like in the moment where Jan Rog like corners her and he's going to shoot her, and she shoots the engine and ends up giving herself the powers where you think that she's just been kind of gifted by them. I liked that a lot.
Yeah.
So she kind of like earned all those things for herself. And you realize in the end that Jan Rog, like he didn't do anything or really deserve anything more than what he got out of the movie.
Yeah.
So I liked his performance a lot better, like the second time around seeing the movie, because you have a better idea of like what his character is. Yeah. You know?
I totally get what you're saying. And as like the little twists and surprises unfolded, you know, they really landed with me when things land with me, or I don't call it, or I call it like 2 seconds before it happens. That's the best. 'Cause you're like, wait a minute. Yeah. And that's like, you know, this movie had a few of those moments, which was really great. But, real quick, Kate, what performance did you like besides Brie Larson in this one?
I have to give a shout out to Reggie, Gonzo, Archie, and Rizzo, who played Goose.
Oh,
the true hero of the story. No,
there it is. Yeah. How do we not mention Goose yet?
Loved Goose.
I know, seriously.
Goose is the coolest, and that whole twist with Goose eating everyone's face was one of my favorite things ever. No, in all seriousness, everyone was really great, and I liked, as you mentioned, the chemistry, but, you know, the dynamic between Carol Danvers and Nick Fury was awesome. Because it was like they had like kind of like a cool, weird friendship. And I liked that they were both people who believed very strongly in trusting their instincts. And I feel like that was played an important role in this movie, because every decision she basically makes is not based on what she knows, but what she feels. And I think that's why like the two of them were really cool together.
Really well said. Good stuff, guys. I think we're all on the same page overall. Let's get into the twists a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about the villains in this one. I always say villains are hard in movies. Sometimes you get some really good movies, but like the villains are tricky, or they're in and out. You know, you kind of have that boss battle.
Yeah, the villains are always like really one-dimensional because they want to work on their main characters, not the bad guys.
Yeah, and
especially
plus, you
know, in Marvel.
Yeah, totally. You have so many, and you know, you get a villain per film, you know, unless it's like a big one. So, you know, they're in and out. Villains are hard, and I understand why they're hard. I totally get it. With this one, you know, obviously, like we said, spoiler alert, they got me with this one with the Skrull. I'm familiar with the comics. I'm familiar with the Skrull. I'm familiar with the video games and such stuff like that. My issue going through the movie was like the Skrull were so silly, And I'm like, I laughed. I thought they were great and silly, but I'm like, they shouldn't be so silly.
Right.
Yeah, and I think I had said that to Kate. Didn't I whisper that to you? I'm like, they're silly. Like, why are they so silly? And sure enough, we find out like they're the victims and like they're the refugees. And I loved that twist. And I really I wanted to believe them and I wanted to make sure that they weren't going to turn on them. And the stuff with the Skrull families and the Skrull kids and that little girl that he had. I loved all that. And I thought it was great. So obviously the twist being that the Kree were the villains, which you could kind of put together from little things like
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Obviously the character from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Ronan.
Not Ronan. I mean, that was the big giveaway earlier.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
With the katanas.
Yeah.
And the guy.
Who? Yeah, the
when
guy.
Star-Lord.
Do you know Ed, you're good at this. What's his name?
I'm on it.
Kate's on his name.
His actual name is Jimin.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember what.
But and I loved all those Star Force, whatever they are, whatever. Is that what they're really called?
Star Force.
Is that it?
So.
Characters Minerva, I thought she had the sniper thing and she had a cool mask. I liked her a lot. I thought they were all cool, but I love the way they did the villains in this one. And the thing with the Skrull, not even if they had just kept them the villains, but that whole wait a minute, this wasn't Coulson the whole time, or this wasn't Samuel L. Jackson the whole time. Like that could have gotten really old really fast. Like I'm not about that.
That's real cheap.
I'm not about that doppelganger thing. But they used it the right amount and perfectly. They did get me with that Coulson one. And I love Coulson.
Yeah, that was solid.
I'm just going to do a Coulson podcast next week.
An ode to Coulson.
Yeah, ode to Coulson.
Coulson.
But I loved the twist with the Skrull. I loved the way the plot played out and, we kind of see her history unfold as we get towards the end of the movie. What did you guys think about the Kree being the bad guys? And what did you guys think about the villain and the twists in this one? We'll start with Eddie.
Going back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I was thinking about that with the Kree because they're not portrayed, as being good guys for the most part, with the exception of one or two characters. So I wasn't sure how this was going to play out because the Skrulls are also kind of traditionally bad in the comics and stuff, and that's what they made you think going into the movie. So I thought it was kind of a cool twist, and I also I feel like it makes more sense to how they looked in the movie too. Just traditionally, the heroes are always brighter and more standoutish.
True,
and then the I guess we're calling them Star Force. I feel like that's what they were.
Yeah,
but
that's just
what we'll say now. But, in the beginning when they go on that mission, when those pictures from that scene came out a couple months ago, a lot of people, and I agreed with them, were saying that they looked very kind of monotone.
Yeah,
I
get
monochrome.
You.
Mm-hmm. They were all kind of just colored very they all just kind of look the same.
Yeah,
and I thought that was weird. But then when you go and watch the movie, they end up, they're all just, bad guys. And that's kind of just the way those types of characters are always portrayed in the movie. So I feel going back through superhero history and movies and stuff, it made more sense to me that they were colored that way. And they all just kind of looked kind of uninteresting.
Yeah
going back to it, because they were all just kind of green and blue. And Carol was the only one that really sort of stood out. Even Jude Law's character Jon Rogg was his eyes were kind of matching his costume and everything, and they all just sort of looked like this one color system.
Yeah, totally. Did you see the twist coming? I didn't.
No,
hit me at the right spot. Which is good.
I had a feeling that Jude Law's character had something going on, but I didn't see it happening that way. It's right when she says, when she's she puts together that communication device during the payphone scene right before Nick Fury shows up.
Yeah, that was cool.
She says something about how she's on C-53, and he kind of just has this weird look. I was there's something weird about this. But I didn't really see it all unfolding the way that it did, how he was sort of personally responsible for all of this stuff that happened to her. So I didn't see it as far as it actually went, but I suspected at certain points, yeah, like I started to kind of piece things
especially
together.
Especially when you saw Ronan talking to him, like, yeah, for me, that was like a big tip off.
Yeah, well, that was something I thought about going into it. So you got Ronan, and then whatever that guy's name is, did you find
that? Oh, that guy.
I don't know. We'll get there.
I don't know. But we also had Cassius on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Who just had, like, the fight pit. And I was like, he's definitely a bad guy.
Yeah. But, like, the two of them end up being, you know, they're bad guys in Guardians of the Galaxy. So I'm like, well, where's the kind of turn happening here? So you think something has to, like, change. I was sort of expecting, like, something was going to happen to them that would lead them on a path. But it's really just they were kind of that same way all along.
Yeah, I got you, man. Yeah, and I'm on the same page. And like I keep saying, I like it when it hits you at the right moment. I think that's what makes a good movie.
Yeah.
It doesn't give too much away. And then you see it and you're like, oh, I should have called it. But Jude Law has something what I like to always call, I say this in a lot of shows, bad guy face. So, you know, to me, I was like, oh, he totally has bad guy. I've literally sat in movies with Keiko. He has bad guy face.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's certain castings where you're oh, you're definitely never the hero.
Not to make the Wonder Woman comparison again, totally called it in that one.
Yeah, because that guy always
He was super convenient.
Yeah.
But totally. But Marissa, what did you think about the villains in this one? And did you see any of these kind of twists coming?
No, I didn't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. past like four episodes, and I hadn't really thought about Ronan until he showed up in the actual movie, but I was really impressed by the sort of willingness for the movie to basically give us a refugee metaphor, wherein she's taught that these are the bad guys for her whole life, and there's this indoctrination about, like, people who are literally a different color than you are bad, and then all of a sudden it's revealed that, like, no, that we've been the aggressors the whole time. We're imperialist monsters. Like, what a bold thing to do. I just, again, blown away by what the film was willing to do metaphorically.
Really well said. Kate, what did you think about the villains, and did you see this twist coming?
I did not see the twist coming, but the entire movie, I'm like, aren't these blue dudes the bad guys? Because again, from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Ronan, and I'm just like, okay, I mean, I guess not an entire race of alien. They don't all have
What do you got against blue people, Kate?
Oh, shut up. So I was like, okay, maybe they're, you know, there's different people, there's different aliens. These guys can be good, I guess. When Ed mentioned that that payphone scene, I definitely did get the vibe that there was something off with, what's his name?
Yon-Rogg.
But I was just like, okay, maybe there's something off with just him and not the rest of the team. Even though we did see, I don't know his name from Guardians of the Galaxy. But I couldn't super duper remember what was going on with him. But I was completely surprised. Like even when they started talking to Carol about like what's going on and like how they need help and stuff like that, I was like, is he gonna like trick her and stab her in the back? Like, is this genuine? And then you like really got the feeling that it was very genuine. And you know, at her character, like you get the vibe that her instincts are very good about people. So I definitely didn't see it coming, and I thought it was a really cool twist.
Yeah, they nailed it. Like I keep saying, this movie really well put together. And then this is a nice little segue here. Where did you guys think where was like stands? You know, kind of you have like that upper tier of MCU movies. Is this more middle tier? I thought it was right on par. Like just like good 20 minutes into the movie, I'm like, yeah, this is a Marvel movie. This is good, and I would put it in the top tier of a lot of these Marvel movies. Did you guys think this was on par with a lot of these hero films? I'm looking at Ed. He's the expert over here.
No, I liked it a lot. I would put it up there. I also thought it was one of the better origin stories. Just the way that they constructed the movie, it wasn't so linear the way that they happen to be a lot of the time. I thought it was interesting, and like I have a student that I always talk about Marvel movies with.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he said something about like he thought the pacing was weird, like because there's all this action in the beginning of the movie, and then the center of the movie it's a little bit more like expositional and stuff. But I thought that was like to its advantage, because it doesn't make you wait so long to kind of get to the point where she becomes a hero. Like, she's always been one, and her character was always, like, heroic, and she's a fighter pilot, and she's a badass. She gets powers and everything, but the whole kind of point of the movie was not that she's given powers. It's really that she's, like, a powerful person, like, on the inside. But I would put it up there, like, my top five, like, I love the Captain America movies, but I feel like because it's an origin movie, I like to put those, like, in their own. Like, I think Iron Man's a great origin movie, and like, you know, the Captain America movies are my favorite, but I don't think the first one is great. I don't think it's a great origin movie, just in its execution, let's say. I would say Captain Marvel is probably two or three in that for me. Iron Man is probably my favorite origin. I'll say Captain Marvel is my second.
Yeah, and it's always hard when you have to, like, do an origin movie. Like, it has to be its own movie, but it also has to be an origin movie. Like, that's tough.
Yeah.
And then you got to do the origin of the villain at the same time, which is why villains are always tough. Speaking of Captain America, by the way, obviously we saw those end credit scenes. You know, unfortunately, I'd seen some things about it before I went to the theater. This is what, like, the Thursday night it came out. I was like, come on, internet. But I did, you know, kind of know that Chris Evans was going to be in the end credit scene. And he was just more handsome than ever. And Kate was my wife was very happy. Did he get more handsome?
I mean, just always gets more handsome.
Every movie, he's just a little bit more handsome.
It's true. It's yeah. I mean, I can't even disagree with that. And Kate was very happy about it. But
that's why he's my favorite, because he's just so damn handsome.
He's great though, as Captain America. But Kate, where does this rank in your MCU movies list?
Easily top tier for me. I feel like more recently a lot of the movies have been a lot better. You know, obviously when it starts, it's just like, oh, these are movies for nerds and they're not as you know, popular. But now that it's such a huge deal with all the superheroes and stuff like that, you could tell there's a lot of money being put into them and a lot of time and care, which is really cool. It's definitely top tier for me, along with Black Panther. I really, really loved... help me out here.
Josh Brolin.
Infinity War. Thank you. Yeah. I was gonna say Endgame, and I was like, that's not right. Yeah, I loved Infinity War, and a lot of them are really, really great. This is definitely one of my favorites. I really enjoyed it, and it's cool to have a character that you can relate to more.
Yeah, totally. Great. And now, Marissa, let's throw it to you. Not just like in terms of MCU. Movies, but like you know, being the film editor, where does this kind of rank on your, you know, movie standard list, if you will?
That's actually a good way to ask that, because I confess I basically only see these MCU movies like one time.
Right, exactly.
I basically rank them on like, well, would I actively rewatch this, or do I not care to ever see it again? So like, there's only really two tiers.
Yep.
And this is definitely in the top tier of actively rewatch this again. I would have seen it again already if I had the time. But I think it's a really solid film. I don't know. I think I hate to compare them again, but maybe Wonder Woman would be more watchable as a general film, but I can't say because I've seen that like three times and I haven't seen Captain Marvel more than once, unfortunately.
I got
not that I'm trying, but. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a very good film. If I'm looking at it in the films that have come out this year so far, it's definitely like one of the only ones I am interested in. And I will say, like, I was left sort of cold after Infinity War. Like, that one felt the most to me like going to class. So it was refreshing to not feel like I was going to class and to feel like really. Really spoken to in a on a deep level in these, because I don't think I get spoken to on a deep level in a lot of these MCU films.
Yeah, so, no, I understand what you're saying. You know, we're all into like the comics and the sci-fi and stuff like that, but you're looking at it from all angles. I totally get that.
Yeah, I'm kind of more of a DC girl, so I'm not
There it is. Okay.
Yeah. So it's like I read. read Marvel occasionally, but it's pretty limited. And, like, you know, my biggest connection with this Captain Marvel specifically is that one of my favorite comic book artists designed that costume years ago. So, like,
no
it
way.
Was thrilling to see that, but that's about, you know, I have limited knowledge of the actual world. Like, that's why I was, like, such a big fan of Aquaman, because I was like, oh, great, I read these all the time. I know everything that's going on. Like, I always feel a little lost in this, but these MCU movies, but this one felt like really, really like it didn't need any extra knowledge in some ways. Like, it helped to have some extra knowledge, but it definitely is a great little standalone film, I'd say.
Yeah, and that's important, you know, for people who don't see all these, yeah, all these films.
Because if you
sure.
want to start now, there's, like, 45 movies to watch.
Yeah, there's a lot, but we enjoy them. Real quick, before we get out of here, guys, and I always thank you for a few minutes. Any favorite scenes in this one? Anything that stands out? Anything else you want to say about this one? I'll go with just a cliche answer real quick. We already touched on it. The I'm just a girl fight scene at the end. That no doubt riff. I popped big time. I almost jumped out of my seat a little bit for that one. Any big moment? Kate is raising her hand.
I am raising my hand. One of my favorite moments is when the dum-dum was trying to be like, oh, this is what I was teaching you this whole time. And he's like, trying, as you said, gaslighting her. And she and he's like, fight me without your powers. Show me what you really got. And she just blasts him. That was one of my favorite scenes ever. Because first
so
of all,
powerful.
Like, who the hell are you to be like, oh, no, don't use your powers. I have trained you this whole time. I am your master. Like, shut the fuck up. And then she just blasts the shit out of him. And it's really, really great. Yeah. And that's it. Also one of my favorite parts is, you know, her big hero moment where she's like, wait a second, this stupid thing on my neck has been, you know, hindering my powers. They didn't give me anything. And then she just busts out and she has like a field day flying around, like ripping through things with her superpowers. And she's just like, my favorite part about that is not even her realizing how powerful she's always been, but like how much joy is on her face as she just like tears through spaceships.
That
whole scene was awesome.
Yeah.
That's a good. Marissa, any favorite moments or any favorite girl power moments, anything like that?
I really got a kick out of when she picked up the right stuff in Blockbuster, because I really like
No,
it's like such a goofy, like, a nothing moment, but like, I don't know, that charmed the shit out of me, because I was like, yeah, you know what, the right stuff is a really good movie. She would love that movie.
Totally.
Yeah, so I don't know. I do have a kind of a, can I ask a question really quick, though?
You can do whatever you can do whatever you want.
Cool. So, like, there's been a lot of, like, talk about the whole Fury getting his eye scratched out thing. Were you guys cool with that? Or because I found that charming, but then was surprised to go online and see people be like,
you know, I love that you brought that up, and I think we will kind of go around the room on that one, because that's a great question. And some of my friends who are also big, you know, big into the MCU, they, you know, who hadn't seen it, they said they were hearing a lot of things kind of messed up with the timeline, or they did some funny things with Nick Fury. I like how you said it, Marissa. I thought, like, I saw it happen, you know, when the first time when the cat scratched his eye, and I was like, uh-oh, like, don't do this. And they did it, and you know what? Like you said, I like the way you said it. I thought it was charming, because he's been in all these movies, you know, there's been some references to it or what happened. He's had some one-liners in other movies about something happened, or he had lied about what happened. I don't know. I think overall it's great. I could see myself honestly being like a fanboy and having a problem. No, but like I thought it was charming. I agree with you, Marissa. And I thought, like, what delivery on a joke, and it wasn't like too over the top. And plus that cat, I mean, let's be real here. That cat was vicious.
Let's give it up for Goose.
Let's give it up for Goose. But that's a great question. That's a great question, Marissa.
Okay. So, I did look it up. So in one of whatever movie it was, the first time he mentions it, he said that he lost his eye because he he trusted someone he shouldn't. And then you're just thinking about every scene with him and Goose, and him being like, "Here, you pretty kitty, I love you."
Betray.
And it's hilarious. It's
so
really
cat-like. Too.
Yeah, It's really funny, and like it's a really fun joke at a character that, like, I think could be like really boring and dark all the time, and he wasn't in this. Like, he had a personality in this
I loved
movie.
It when he sang the Marvelettes.
Yeah.
That was great. Mr. Postman.
I thought it was great. I really liked it. And but back to scenes real quick, every scene with Samuel L. Jackson and Goose was amazing.
Yeah, that's great. Eddie, what did you think about the eye patch or the Nick Fury eye thing, and also favorite scenes?
I love that because of what Kate said, because, you know, he's always so kind of dark and boring, like, and it works, like, because when you go forward in time, you've got this guy that is so dark and boring and serious, and he's trying so hard not to say that he got his eyes scratched by a cat. It kind of just, like, makes everything, like, going forward so much more funny. And, like, you can play off of that in the future. Especially, like, all right, so they're probably going to cross paths again in Endgame. They have to have, like, a moment, like, where, like, you have to acknowledge that you got your eyes scratched out by a cat. There's got to be a joke about that coming in the next movie.
True. Yeah. Whenever he comes back. Yeah. Because he did. What a great disintegration that was.
Mother.
Mother Flurkin.
Yeah. There it is. I think we'll end it on that note, guys. Hey, everyone, thanks for a few minutes. A little bit of that shameless promo we always do here on the Bob Culture Podcast. Of course, follow our band, Vection, facebook.com/VectionRocks, Instagram, Twitter. You guys know the deal by now. Follow my good buddy, Ed Souls. He's playing with Rachel Lynn from time to time. Right now, he's playing in a production of Mamma Mia. This guy's all over the place, a man of many talents. And as I continue to poach people from the popbreak.com, Bill's going to be mad at me. No, just kidding. Marissa, thank you so much for a few minutes. And, of course, follow Marissa and all her film reviews over at the popbreak.com. Guys, thank you so much for a few minutes. And we'll see you next time. We're out. Peace.
Peace.
Hey, guys. Thanks for checking out this episode of the Bob Culture Podcast. Don't forget to support the show on patreon.com/Bob Culture Podcast for some great incentives. I'd like to give a shout out to my patrons, Jay Crow, Shannon Kruz, and, of course, Mike and Michelle Vermillion from Sledgepad Innovations. Sledgepad is the bass drum dampening system used by national acts like Pink, Goo Goo Dolls, Cher, Collective Soul, and a whole bunch more. Check them out at sledgepad.com. And of course, if you're a fan of the show, please subscribe on YouTube, check us out at podbean.com, and leave me a review at iTunes.